This is the ultimate guide for growing and monetizing your podcast way faster without social media, paid ads, or high-profile guests. Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a show helping entrepreneurs with podcasts turn a slow growth show into a rapidly growing positive ROI podcast. Hello, my name is Anthony Winnery.
I'm Ty Gaucher.
And in this episode, you will discover why social media and high-profile guests are killing your show's chances of growing faster.
One simple change that helped a client grow past 30,000 monthly downloads and earn tens of thousands with a show.
And finally, three fundamental things every podcaster needs to grow a profitable show. Welcome back to another Thursday episode where we share with you stories, break down marketing principles, and give you actionable strategies to grow and monetize your podcast way faster.
Well, look, Anthony, let's give the last one away right off the bat. Peel back the curtain and then explain exactly how to implement what we're going to talk about. So the three things that you need to grow a profitable podcast is firstly, a way to turn more strangers into listeners. Secondly, a way to keep those listeners coming back for more. And thirdly, a way to reach more of those listeners consistently. Anthony mentioned a minute ago, there are three fundamental things every podcaster needs to grow and have a profitable show. It really is as simple as what we just mentioned there, right? Turning strangers into listeners, getting them coming back for more, and then having a mechanism to reach more of them.
After interviewing and coaching 400 plus podcasts, the sad reality is that most podcasts we speak to, entrepreneurs, experts with shows, have dying podcasts that aren't growing. They're reaching the exact same 100 listeners after years of podcasting. And for a lot of them, they don't feel like they're making the impact, and they're certainly not making the money they want to. And the reason why they're struggling to grow is because they're following the typical growth strategy, which looks like what, Tig?
Well, it tends to look something like you launch a show and then you post consistently. You invite the biggest names you can onto your show and you invest energy into getting high profile guests, credible people to interview for your own podcast. You post about it on social media and you hope for the best.
That's literally it, right? But the issue is, for most people, and maybe you've experienced this as well, years go by and the show hasn't picked up the traction it deserves. You've spent years on the podcast and yeah, you've become this amazing podcaster who has these impactful conversations that you really enjoy, but you're wishing the show would reach way more listeners, make way more money, make way more impact, but it's having the complete opposite reaction. It's actually this expensive thing you keep doing that's barely growing. And the reason why this happens to so many podcasts is because they don't have an actual plan in place, a process, a proven way to reach more listeners.
Without those things, you end up stuck with a podcast that feels like a time-sucking hobby with no clear or straightforward ROI.
You start feeling embarrassed when people ask about your download numbers, maybe even not looking at analytics because you feel a bit embarrassed.
You put out episodes every single week, but you still feel invisible in your industry.
You're uncertain about what's actually working, and you feel like you're constantly guessing when it comes to an actual growth strategy.
If any of this resonates with you, you might even be left wondering if you should just quit, or you might have considered that at some point because the show is not paying off and not bringing you what you thought it would, apart from obviously all the enjoyment, but nothing else from a business point of view. If that's you, if any of those things feel familiar, that's exactly what we want to fix in this episode. It's not all doom and gloom, and we actually have a solution that we want to share with you today, which is the whole point of this episode.
So look, we want to quickly reveal the missing things that most podcasters are missing that causes endless pain, frustration, and makes the podcast feel like this additional thing you're doing that's starting to feel exhausting, defeating, and unmotivating.
All right. Well, most podcasters are missing either a uniquely positioned show that really stands out in their space, meaning amongst other podcasts in their space, or a reliable system for reaching new listeners. Reliable meaning you actually understand what you're putting in will get you X result, not hitting and hoping, but knowing, okay, I post this, I will get on average this many listeners, or I will take this action, I will get this type of return. And most podcasters sadly miss both for a very long time. But even if you have fixed one, you'll still fail without the other.
And what this looks like is, let's say you have a ton of exposure onto a podcast that doesn't have a unique positioning, you won't have listeners that turn into a listener and they won't stick around long term. And vice versa, right? Let's say, for example, you have an incredible show that's truly unique, but you don't have a way to reach more of the right listeners, your podcast still won't grow. Now, most podcasters never invest the time in learning both of these, so they stay stuck, going through a process of trial and error, or even worse, not even trying at all, to spend 1, 2, 3, sometimes even 5 years being consistent with the show for nothing to really pay off. So again, today we want to help you fix that. We want to walk you through 4 specific steps we take our clients through to grow a highly engaged listeners as fast as possible and start making way more money from their show. So Ty, what's step number one?
Well, step number one is about building your show's USP or unique selling point.
Okay, cool. I get it. But what does that mean, man? Give me some more. What's the juice here?
It's the unique selling point, like the thing that makes it unique. Don't you get what I mean?
Like, are you talking about, like, you know, I say it how it is, you know, my content is 10 out of 10. I just give practical tips and frameworks. I raw dog it.
Absolutely not. I see what you're doing here. Maybe we should explain it a little bit more. So look, imagine you own a food truck business or a food stall, as we would say here in the UK. You move it into a small town to sell smash burgers at a food market. And it's a small town, and the people who live there have never tasted a smash burger before. What would happen?
Like it is, it gets, for me, I'd be excited. I'd be buzzing. I'd be like, let me have a taste of that smash burger. Smash burgers sound great. They look great, smell great. Not sure how they feel, but I'm sure they taste great. So let me have some.
Absolutely. It would be exciting, right? People haven't experienced it before. So it would likely grow in popularity. And you would have a fairly straightforward path to really succeed with your food truck business because you'd be bringing something new to the market, right? There's so little competition that it's easy for you to be the top choice, right? Of course, you're going to be the number one place for smash burgers. And of course, people are going to be excited about it. But let's say 10 years go by and there's now 25 different smash burger trucks at the market. Let's say you were the 26th and you were then just coming along at that 10-year point. What would it be like to try and make it with selling smash burgers at that point? How different would it be?
I think it'll be way harder, right? I mean, you'll have much higher competition. It would be way harder to actually stand out because you're just essentially a commodity. There's a bunch of different smash burger stands out there. And quite frankly, there's no reason why people should go to your new smash burger stand versus everyone else. So you're not really an obvious choice in the market anymore.
Exactly. And this is such a big issue in the podcasting space. Now, how this looks is having an interview-based show, having a show that releases weekly, it's about an hour, having a show that it covers general topics. If you fall into any of those categories, and there's probably a few others I could list as well, these are the type of characteristics that put you in the 26th smash burger category, where it worked a while ago, but it's been very, very overdone now, and it makes it near impossible to rise to the top and actually get noticed.
Now, I think it's important to know that me and Ty, we're not saying that you shouldn't have a podcast in a popular space. That's actually a good thing, but you need to have a podcast where there's a twist. If not, it's way harder to stand out and gain traction fast. Like, I remember we had a client called Laura, and for 4 years, she was podcasting. She grew her show to 4,000 monthly downloads. But the issue was she launched her show back in 2018 in the leadership space. And at that time, there was barely any other shows actively posting, talking about leadership. Her show was super general, interviewing leaders in her space, and the podcast took off. But again, years down the line, as more people started making podcasts about leadership, her show was no longer different. It no longer stood out. And her growth started to flatline at this 4,000 download mark, to the point where the numbers started to decline month after month after month. She got to a spot where she was feeling defeated, demotivated, and she started questioning, hey, I'm investing all of this time, I'm spending it on this podcast, but the show isn't growing and I'm not generating an income. And that's when she decided to reach out to our team to work with us one-on-one to fix her growth issues. Now, what we found when we started working with her was that although she was in a popular niche and there was tons of demand for her type of content, there was nothing unique about her specific show. So new listeners would essentially ignore her and just go to the industry leaders in her space. That's what led to the decline in her listenership. Now, Ty, what was the shift that we made with Laura's specific show to make it more unique, to help her stand out, and to help her go from declining growth at 4,000 monthly downloads to 6 months later, 15,000 monthly downloads, and 6 months after that, 30,000 monthly downloads and tens of thousands of additional profit added to our podcast? What did we shift?
Well, we made her show more unique, and there were two main ways that we did it. Number one was we helped her better target a segment of the market within leadership so she could be the absolute only option and most obvious option for those listeners. So within the leadership space, there's a ton of different types of people listening to shows, right? There are managers, there are C-suite leaders, there are entrepreneurial leaders, there are people who want to be leaders, there are, you know, I could go on. And there's all different types of personality types in there, settings of the environment they work, blah, blah, blah. It's very hard to ever be the best show when you're trying to serve all those different types of people. We helped Laura reposition a show. So instead of just a overarching leadership communication show, she honed in on what she was best at, which was helping introverts in a corporate role improve their communication and charisma so they could work their way up and step into more of a leadership. This change was huge because it meant that out of all the people searching for leadership podcasts, the ones who actually were introverts who wanted to work on their communication aspect of their leadership the most, this show just became the goldmine, you know, the thing that just stood out so much compared to everything else. Now, this is great, right? But something else we did, and you can imagine how much this would have helped the growth of the show and how much it stands out to that particular audience. Something else we did is we found a really interesting and exciting way to deliver that content. Instead of just bog standard interviews and maybe some solo episodes too, we added a completely new segment. In Laura's case, it was bite-sized solo episodes where each one reverse engineered a speech done by an A-lister, whether that's a famous politician, artist, spokesperson, whatever. She reverse engineered what they did in that speech that made them charismatic and a good communicator, and then tailored the insights to her specific audience, again, introverts in a corporate role. You can imagine not only how valuable this was to that particular audience, because again, it's made for them specifically, all the examples, everything, it's filtered through the nuance of if you're an introvert in a corporate setting, but also it's just something new and exciting, right?
Way more exciting compared to like the normal interview-based shows who are all talking about leadership. We get it. But that being delivered in a unique way, number one, she's attracting way more of the right listeners. But two, when they listen to the podcast, they're like, holy crap, I literally can't get this content anywhere else. And that's why people stuck around. The audience went crazy for it. And a show exploded in a span of 6 to 12 months. It's huge. Now look, when it comes to your unique positioning, it's not about just being different for being different's sake. It's about presenting your podcast in a way that's wildly attractive, catches the attention of the listeners you want to reach, and consistently delivers high quality content they can't get anywhere else. That's what it means to have a truly unique show that stands out and gains traction fast. So look, Tug, I guess that's all great, and our listeners, I'm sure, are excited to have some ideas of why this is important, how to apply it. But what are some hurdles we see podcasters facing when they try executing this on their own?
That's a great question. Maybe it sounds straightforward and easy, but of course, why isn't everyone doing it then? Look, here are the main areas people struggle with when trying to go ahead and do this, if they even are aware of it. Number one, you can't really see your own blind spots, right? Pretty much every podcaster I've ever spoken to thinks they have a unique show or thinks it's more unique than it objectively is, because why wouldn't you? It's your creation. You're getting good feedback. Even if it's not a lot of feedback, you've probably had some nice feedback from guests or people in your network who like the show. So it's hard to kind of filter out, is this really unique or is this not? And only with the perspective of someone who's seen hundreds of shows in the space and really analyzed the market as a whole, can you actually get to the bottom of, is the show unique enough? Where does the positioning lie compared to competition? Another thing that kind of stems from this first thing is, you know, you end up without that full clarity and without that perspective, you can often end up either too worried you're going to exclude people and not going specific enough in who you're serving, or just having tons of ideas, especially when it comes to making your show unique, maybe adding a segment or a twist to it, and just getting bogged down in the wrong details and then struggling to make a decision or potentially making a decision that you don't know how to measure, and then you can end up in the same spot months from now.
Whereas entrepreneurs and experts we see nailing this consistently are doing two specific things. Number one, they had a high-level mentor, coach, or consultant asking them questions directly, challenging their beliefs about how unique their show is, and helping them make better decisions faster with way more confidence because they have that perspective. So they're not making the decision still filled with a bunch of self-doubt. They can make it feeling confident. That's the first thing. The second thing is they were part of a high-level community where other entrepreneurs and experts gave them direct feedback that's honest and genuine and lets them know straight whether or not their positioning is truly unique and whether or not it actually resonates. But without that outside perspective, most spend 6 to 12 months testing a bunch of different things, burning through their audience's goodwill because they're constantly pivoting, or they never pivot at all because they're scared of making the wrong decision, which builds a frustration because they just stay stuck in the same spot because nothing has truly changed about their show. And that's why it's so important to get high-level mentorship so you can make that decision with confidence and be part of a community where you get actual feedback, not just your own ideas in your head. That's step number one, having a truly unique podcast. Step number two, Ty, what is that? So we're building a unique show, what next?
Well, the second step is building a demand-based content strategy.
A demand what?
I'm sure everyone knows what I mean. Haven't you heard of a demand-based content strategy before?
Nah, haven't, mate. You got to fill me in.
Well, look, all jokes aside, it's our own term. So for anyone listening right now, you probably haven't heard of it. We made the term up. A content strategy refers to the topics that you select to cover on your show as a collective. So not just like, what did you cover in one episode, but as a whole package, like your episodes overall, what topics do they range between and what topics do they tend to cover?
And I think to clarify as well, the content strategy piece, the strategy piece is more so, how are you deciding, like, what's your framework for deciding what topics you should even talk about in the first place? And I think when most people go wrong, Tig, and most podcasts that we see, that really screws them up, is that their content strategy, they decide based on their thoughts and interests. So it's very self-directed. And number two is guest focus, meaning they invite a guest onto their podcast and whatever the guest talks about, as long as it's generally about the topic, they'll just riff back and forth. But again, the issue is you're kind of neglecting a massive pivotal part of your overall growth strategy. I think most people don't realize how important and how vital your content strategy is when it comes to growing your show, right? People just think cover a bunch of topics, whatever, or invite high profile guests. However, if you view your content, the topics you cover on your show, as the main attraction to your podcast, you know, someone's gonna look at your show and decide whether to click play or not based on the topics you cover. And they're going to decide whether to keep listening based on how relevant the topics are to them. So again, really clarifying the goal of your content strategy is number one, to attract more of the right listeners based on what they are actively looking for. Number two, to keep those listeners engaged and coming back for future content. That's the goal of your content strategy. Hey, would you like to grow beyond 5 to 10,000 monthly downloads and start generating sales from your show in the next 3 to 6 months without relying on social media, high profile guests, or word of mouth? If so, I would love to encourage you to go to the show notes, click the first link that you see, and book your free 30-minute strategy session with our team. We'd love the opportunity to help you grow and monetize your podcast way faster. With that being said, let's get back to the episode. Now, for us, we don't like to do a normal content strategy, do we, Ty? We like to have a demand-based content strategy. So I guess, explain what we mean when we say a demand-based content strategy versus a normal content strategy.
Phew, I get to explain the our made-up term now, do I?
Yeah, I reckon we've kept the listeners, you know, clinging on for long enough. So what exactly does it mean?
Well, like you say, a regular content strategy normally ends up just being letting the guest's agenda run and just talking about what you feel like talking about on the day. Of course, this is not based on demand. This is based on your own ideas and the guest agenda. So demand-based content strategy is choosing those topics, and again, those topics as a collective, based on what your audience are actively searching for right now and what is top of mind for them. And this involves a totally different way of thinking, because it's not about what does my guest want to talk about or what do I want to talk about. It's what are my listeners looking for right now and what are the current, timely, burning interests of my listeners or my potential listeners that I can tap into and cover to be more found and more attractive as a show with my topics when they do find me. People often think that the guest is the main attraction to listen to a show, but really this isn't the case, because if the guest is even a big enough name to be an attraction, they've probably been on tons of shows anyway, so it really doesn't work in the way people think it does. The topic is actually what attracts people to listen to the show, and if you're just guessing or just going with the flow, you can probably see why it's never going to actually work in attracting your listeners. So the step here is to think about what your listeners want. What do they want right now? How can you validate your ideas? Because of course, you might have some ideas, but how do you actually know it's what your audience is looking for? And then cover that in a way that suits you. Anthony, what are the main struggles people face here when trying to do this?
I think the first issue people bump into is not having a proven way to validate the ideas that they have. They essentially start getting bogged down in the wrong information, or they're not sure whether or not their content strategy is focused enough. Honestly, it's a similar situation to the first one where like they just don't have the perspective or a good enough gauge around how focused their content strategy should be for the listeners they're trying to reach. And I think one thing that we really try to do with our clients one-on-one is to give them a proven way to actually validate these content ideas so they're not just getting bogged down in wrong information. And then also giving them the outside perspective, letting them know like, hey, by the way, you're covering all of these topics, but the people we're trying to reach are actually more interested in X, Y, and Z. Have you thought of that? Here are some hurdles you might face. So again, similar to the first one, just getting the outside perspective to make sure you're going in the right direction. You're not just covering content because it's popular, but is it going to attract the listeners you want to reach? And then the final thing is, it's really important that when you start covering more of the demand-based content strategy on your podcast, you're consistently reviewing what topics are performing well. Now, for a lot of people, they haven't got the time to, you know, review the analytics constantly, to look into the data and then make data-driven decisions. So what we do for our clients is every month, we actually analyze their best performing topics as well as the title formats we can see their audience enjoys. And then we give them future title ideas and content or topics to cover on their show for the next 30 days based on what's proven to work. So constantly tweaking your content strategy again based on what's proven to work for your own specific show. At this point, Tig, we've got step number one, building a truly unique show that stands out and gains traction fast. Step number two is building a demand-based content strategy where you're covering topics based on what's proven to gain the attention of the listeners you want to reach. What's step number three?
Step number three is podcast SEO, another very famous term that everyone should know, right?
Yeah, it's one of those terms that I think either scares people or excites people. And I think for most of it scares them.
Yeah. If you're listening right now, I'm joking. Again, it's definitely not a well-known term in the podcasting space. So of course, let's break it down now. Podcast SEO is essentially the process of ranking your show higher in the search results on Apple and Spotify specifically. I mean, hey, and Amazon and all the rest, but we're not really bothered about them. This has nothing to do with Google. You might have heard of SEO before in the sense of like ranking on Google, if that's a website or anything like that. This has nothing to do with that. It's purely on the podcast streaming platforms. And why this is important is because most potential listeners are actually searching for what they want on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If we stick with the leadership example, most potential listeners just rock up on Spotify and type in leadership or, you know, leadership tips or management podcast or something like that. That's actually how they find new shows. So if you can get onto the first page and put yourself in front of that audience, you can imagine how much of a difference this can make to the growth and visibility of your show.
100%. And to kind of make this point clear is like, if you want more listeners, you can just ask the question, well, where do listeners come from? How do people discover new shows? And as Tig mentioned, if that process of people discovering new shows is by literally going onto these platforms and searching in specific keywords, in order for you to grow your podcast, all you have to do is rank your show on page one of Apple and Spotify. Now, I say that tongue in cheek, like all you've got to do is rank on page one of Apple and Spotify. But seriously, that is the goal of podcast SEO. And when you do that, you reach thousands of new listeners organically. The best part is these are highly engaged listeners who are actively searching for your show. It's not like when you're trying to promote on social media, convincing strangers to just get off the platform and dedicate an hour to your podcast. No, you're reaching and being shown to the exact listeners who are looking for a podcast to listen to in your space right now. So it's like, what are the actual steps people can take in order to get their shows ranked higher on Apple and Spotify?
Well, there's three main parts to this. The first part is all about the discoverability of your show. So this means using the right terms, the right keywords. For example, what would someone actually be typing into the search bar on Apple or Spotify? And making sure that whatever those terms are, you include them everywhere you can in your show. again, we'll stick with the leadership. If someone is looking to improve their communication in a leadership context, they might type in leadership communication or communication skills for leaders, or just leadership or just communication, right? Whatever those words are, if you have them everywhere in your show name, your description, your episode titles, etc., then you're telling Apple and Spotify, hey, when someone types this in, I'm the one that you should show because this is what I talk about. Can't you tell from my show name, episode titles, the rest? So if you include these words as often as possible, and of course the key is to think about what words those would even be in the first place and verify that, then it's actually a lot more straightforward than most might think to work your way up the search results and get onto page one. By the way, way more straightforward than trying to go viral on social media or trying to convert doom scrollers into listeners of like a half an hour episode on a totally different platform.
Awesome. So that's discoverability. Is that it? Is that a process? Is it just discover, you know, add a bunch of keywords, then boom, page one. What happens now? How do we get listeners?
Well, not quite, because otherwise we could just pretty much hack the system, right? And just kind of cheat our way there. No, obviously the show has to be good and we'll get onto that. But also the show has to convert. And what that means is, let's say you use all the right keywords, you get onto page one, and now you're there on page one. You've got a lot of traffic coming your way because there are a lot of people that search these things. For example, there'll be hundreds, thousands of people every day searching leadership into Apple Podcasts. So if you get onto page one for that, you're in a good spot already. But you're not guaranteed all of those listeners because you would just be one of around 10 shows that are on the first page. And the main things that come into actually getting spotted and clicked on from that first page over your competitors is a 10 out of 10 knockout, really standout cover and a compelling show name. Not just one that has keywords in, but one that also really speaks to the audience you're trying to attract and really is attractive and unique as a name. Kind of the copywriting aspect of your show name and your episode titles, etc. Most people go wrong with this because they don't think about their show name from the listener's perspective. And a lot of the time, the same with the cover. That can involve having a cover art that's just like the face of the host, which is great because I'm sure it's a very friendly face, but that's pretty much what everyone does. And the listeners don't know who that host is. So if they just see a random face, it doesn't really make them want to click or really stand out on the page. What I'm trying to say here, while not overcomplicating things, is that the way you name the show and the way you create your cover art or have someone else create it for you needs to be done very intentionally to stand out compared to the other shows on the page and really be attractive from a stranger listener's point of view, not from just what other shows are doing, because a lot of the time that's actually not what you should do.
Awesome. So we have discoverability, ranking for the right keywords, visibility, being seen and clicked on over the competition. What's the third and final step to, again, the podcast growing the listenership through podcast SEO?
Well, we mentioned the show actually has to be good a couple of minutes ago. This is where that part comes into play, because you can include all the keywords you want, get to the first page, you can just get lucky and have a really good cover, or, you know, intentionally create a really good cover. But if people click on an episode, hear about 5 minutes and don't like it, Apple and Spotify also know that because they know when people drop off, and they're going to think, well, this is just a bad show. Get off page one. It deserves to be on page 10, which is obviously not what we want. And that would completely undermine all of the other steps that we mentioned. So most podcasters think they have quality content, but that can be a subjective thing, i.e. someone said it's a good show, the guest said they had a good experience, or it can be an objective thing. For example, Apple and Spotify show that your retention time is 10%, meaning if you had a 10-minute episode, on average, people stop playing after the first minute. Or on the plus side, you could have 90%, meaning pretty much everyone listens the whole way through your show. These stats don't lie, and Apple and Spotify use these stats as kind of the final call to determine where you should actually show up in the search results. Meaning, to sum it all up, you can't cheat your way out of needing a really, really good show that has people around once they hit play. Now, for anyone listening right now, if you're wondering, how do I find this out? You can see the stats on Apple and Spotify, specifically on Apple Podcast Connect. You can actually see where people drop off in your show and then know where you fall on that scale, how well your show is keeping people around. A lot of people struggle to get this number to what they need it to be because their intro loses listeners without them knowing, or sometimes the guest audio quality or charisma or just their communication doesn't hold up to yours, Or, again, the topics don't even align with what your listeners are looking for. There's pretty much all sorts of things that can really mess up retention time and make it so that no matter what keywords you include, the show still doesn't keep people around or doesn't engage people enough to get you to page one. So there's a lot of factors that need to be in play, kind of moving together at once to really get to page one. But in the same breath, it's totally doable and it's very repeatable. We've helped lots of people do it, right?
Absolutely. Now, again, the principle here is very simple. The majority of new listeners go to Apple or Spotify in order to discover new shows. If you can get your show ranked on page one, make it extremely attractive and have content that's structured in a way to keep their attention throughout the entire episode, your podcast will grow a wildly engaged audience. If you don't rank on page one of Apple and Spotify, or you don't optimize your show for podcast SEO, the likelihood is your show is invisible on the main platforms new listeners go to discover a new show. So it doesn't matter if you have step one, a unique show that's wildly attractive, or step two, a really powerful demand-based content strategy proven to attract and engage listeners, if you don't have a way of being found by more of those listeners. So again, this is great. It's fantastic. It absolutely works in terms of growing a podcast, but you need to make sure you have these other pieces in place. That's podcast SEO. And finally, step number four, podcast guesting.
Ah, finally a term we all understand. You mean landing the big guests on my show, right?
Not quite. Look, the typical way that most people try to grow their podcast is by inviting a high profile guest onto their show in hopes that a big guest will share their audience and that will help grow the podcast. But this rarely happens. Either the guest doesn't promote, or even when the guest does promote, the listeners don't come. And even when they do come, they don't stick around long term for future content. And you've probably experienced that for yourself. So what we need to do is to flip the script, where you, the podcast host, are featuring as a guest on other people's podcasts. Now, why this is so important is because if you think about it, there are thousands of other shows within your space where those hosts have spent the last 3, 4, 5 years building their audience into the thousands of listeners per episode. How much faster would it be for you to grow your audience by you simply shortcutting your way to a bigger stage and being featured as a guest on their show, where the hosts themselves will interview you, you share your valuable insights, share your story, give your frameworks, and in doing so, you build trust with an entirely new audience. And the best part about this is, that's an audience you want to reach anyway. So if I've got a leadership podcast, I could find different shows on communication, influence, you know, specific types of leadership, whatever that might be. Be a guest on those top shows, and then again, expose myself to an entirely new audience. That is such a powerful way to not only grow your audience, but to build your authority within a space, and to attract way more opportunities into your business. So Tark, I guess, where do most people go wrong with this?
Well, in terms of where people go wrong, it can be quite a long, arduous process to find shows that you think you're a good fit for, write a pitch to them, send the pitches out, remember to follow up, and of course, liaise and actually get yourself booked on. Even with team members, people really struggle to set this system up because there's so much to think about, right? It's a big thing to consistently be finding shows in your space, deciding if they're a good fit, reaching out to them, keeping tabs on everyone, following up, and everything that is involved in that process before you even get to the booking. Some people think, great, okay, now I can do this. They give it a go and they might do it for a week or two. But again, it's the consistency and really having this locked down and having it part of your routine that is going to get results. And it's a big struggle. For us, this is why we handle this for our clients, right? To take that grunt work away, we actually find the shows, do the research. We have pitches, of course, ready, and we send the pitches for them as well. So we make it very easy because we know how long and, again, time-consuming it can be when you're trying to do it on your own. Now, the other thing is, occasionally we speak to podcasters who actually have been guests on other shows and have some good experience with it, and they wonder why their show isn't growing or they haven't got as much results as they might have thought. And the reason is usually because they don't have all the pieces that we mentioned before. What I mean by this is, let's say you guest on a huge show in the leadership space. Theoretically, if you do a good job, a lot of those listeners might want to check out your own leadership show, right? But if you don't have a unique selling point to make the show an attractive prospect for them, if you don't have podcast SEO for them to easily find the show and actually find it an attractive thing to look at and click on, and then if they don't have a demand-based content strategy all these potential listeners might look at the show but never actually end up listening to an episode because it's just covering random topics or not really what they want desperately right now. And of course, without podcast SEO, it can even be hard to find the show with all these things in place too.
And that's where most people totally mess this up. Like we mentioned, these are four steps that are proven to work, and we've seen this process turn around hundreds of shows over the last 5 years. We know it works, and that's why we want to share it with you today. You might have even heard us talk about this before, or maybe it's your first time. But if this is clicking for you, if you're starting to see where the holes are with your current strategy, then that should be encouraging because it means that you're not at this brick wall. You can push through, you can grow your podcast. It is possible. But we want to also make this clear that you don't have to try to figure this stuff out alone. Again, by all means, if that's what you want to do, fantastic. But if you're in a spot where this totally makes sense to you, but in terms of how to properly apply it, you don't want to just spend another 3 to 6 months, another year, 2 years going through a process of trial and error. You don't want to get bogged down in the wrong details. And you'd rather just work with mentors, experts like myself and Tyke, directly one-on-one to hold your hand every step of the way to make sure you have a well-positioned show that's unique and stands out, to help you build a demand-based content strategy based on what's proven to gain traction in your space, to help you rank on page one of Apple and Spotify so you're being found by thousands of the right listeners every single month organically, and finally to place you consistently on top podcasts in your space without you worrying about the grunt work or the complexity around actually being a guest on other top shows. And my biggest encouragement is to go to the show notes, click the first link that you see, and book in a strategy session where we can walk you through exactly how this process can work for you specifically and share way more detail about Get More Listeners Academy, which is our one-on-one personalized growth and monetization program specifically built for entrepreneurs and experts who want to grow fast and monetize their podcast in 3 to 6 months. With that being said, we want to share with you and give you the biggest encouragements and love. And we'll catch you on Monday's next episode.
Thanks for listening.
So look, if you feel like the concept of your show is solid and you have a big vision of what your podcast could be, and you know that there's an audience out there who would love what you do, but there seems to be a disconnect between your full potential, what you know you're capable of, and the results you're currently seeing, which, if you're being honest with yourself, is starting to feel a bit soul-crushing. I want to let you know that you're just one step away from having everything you want. You've been consistent, but what's been missing is the right strategy, a roadmap, and someone to keep you accountable. And look, that's exactly how we help podcasters break past slow and steady growth after years of being stuck. So if you're interested in working with me and Tyke one-on-one to help you grow your podcast to 5,000 to 10,000 monthly downloads and finally monetize in the next 3 to 6 months, go to the show notes, click the first thing that you see, or visit getmorelisteners.com/growmypodcast and then book in a time to speak with our team. I'd love to show you what's been holding you back and how to finally have the breakthrough you deserve.